If you have your Bibles tonight, and if you'll turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 3. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to be talking about, over the next few weeks, we'll be talking together about experiencing God together. That's what we already do as a church. We live here and do this work together. We serve the Lord together. We walk through the joys and the defeats and the sorrows and the happiness of life together. And so we're going to be thinking about and talking about experiencing God together. And I thank you for coming tonight. And I thank you for being with us as we look at God's Word. So tonight we start by thinking about the call of Moses. The call of Moses. Was Moses any different from us? No. Once you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have a call on your life. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to discipleship, the Lord Jesus does, and He also calls us to service. So we're thinking about these days, and we will be over the next few weeks, we'll be thinking together about, so what is it that God has called us here at First Baptist Church to do together? You know, many of us have belonged to other churches, been a part of other ministries. Well, you've discovered in those days in your life, every one of them are different. Every ministry is unique. Every ministry has its own focus. Every ministry has its own set of priorities. And sometimes people get frustrated when they go from one place to another and think, well, why isn't this ministry, this church, experiencing and doing things that we did here? Well, we discover that we're all different people and God puts us together to do His work in some very unique ways. So we're experiencing God here at First Baptist Church Dixon and we learn to do it together. But there are some common things that we have in mind. So tonight I want us to think about God's call on Moses and how the call of Moses has something to do with all of us who are here tonight who are followers of Jesus. So let's stand and honor the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 3. I'm sorry I do not have this on the screen, but you can follow along in your copy of God's Word or you can just listen. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. So Heavenly Father, tonight, give us wisdom to understand your word and teach us the importance as a church of hearing the call of God that you have for us together in this place to accomplish your purposes through our church, through the work of these people who are here, who are followers of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we go then to verse number 4. Here I am. Here we have Moses raising his hand in a sense, saying, okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm available. He didn't understand all that it might mean, but he was surprised by God's call. You know, God calls us in a lot of different ways. You know that, don't you? Not any one of us in this room, if we were to stand and give our testimonies tonight, would have exactly the same kind of call to salvation or call to service. We just wouldn't. There's the commonality is that God calls us all, but the uniqueness is He calls each and every one of us individually and uniquely. So it's a burning bush that doesn't burn up for Moses. Now, what in the world was he doing? Just out there with a bunch of stinking sheep. Stupid, stinking sheep. He was out there on the west side, pretty specific here. You think Moses didn't remember where he was? The west side of the wilderness. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. So he comes along his way, carrying out his regular duties, and he's surprised by God's call on his life. That sounds pretty familiar. Looking around here, knowing lots of you as I do, you've experienced the surprise of God's call in your life, have you not? Have you? Yes, of course you have. And you've experienced and you've wondered, a little curious like Moses. He looks, verse 2, and the bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And verse 3, he's curious. I have to turn aside and see this marvelous sight. He was surprised by the means by which God got his attention. Do you remember where you were when God got your attention and put his call on your life? Do you remember where you were? I remember where I was at. Do you remember where you were when God put that specific call in your life about how he wanted you to serve him all the days of your life? You know, it's similar to the surprise that those early disciples had with Jesus going along the... They're out there doing their fishing, just fishing, taking care of sewing up nets, probably aggravated with each other because they didn't catch enough fish, and Jesus calls them out, "Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." So the call of God becomes very important for us. Now, stay with me. This is the individual call of Moses, but Moses' individual call leads to a national call for the nation of Israel. Let's read on. Moses says, "Here I am," verse 5. Then God says, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground." He also said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them." Verse 10, "Therefore come now." This is God's call now to Moses. "Come now, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh." Remember now, he's tending sheep. All right? "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh." Wait a minute. Pharaoh, I've been down that road before. "So that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" First he says, "Here I am." Then God gets specific on his call and Moses starts to worry. Well, can I really do this? Am I really qualified for God to call me to service? The same thing happens with us. We hear God's call. Sometimes we don't respond immediately. We start making excuses. Moses was an excuse maker when it came to the call of God. So God says, "Certainly I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." Then Moses said, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.'" And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So the call of God in one person's life became the call of God for a nation. And they followed Moses out of the land. And we know the story of Israel, the children of Israel going across the Red Sea. So here we are gathered from various places, and through the days and through the years, some are second, third generation people who've been a part of this church and their family since the church was down on College Street. Others of us are new here to this place, but God brings us here. Why does He bring such unique, unusual people to one place? It's a really important question. Why is it that God gathers a specific kind of people with specific skills, some from the country, some not from the country, some from everywhere else, some with strange accents, some with unusual backgrounds, but all with one common experience? They've heard the call of God, followed Jesus, been saved, and now they're a part of this church. Literally thousands who are a part of this church. Well, where are they tonight, Pastor Mike? They're still part of this church, whether they're here tonight or not. They're all a part of this place. So God's call on your life is connected to God's call on my life. You see? This is just an example in this room of how our callings are linked to one another. We're linked. We're linked for a season of time. Till either the Lord calls us home or He moves us on to other things. That happened in the church and in the early church in Israel, in Jerusalem. They were together, and then the persecution came and they were scattered. Great days together, and then what happened? They were scattered to the ends of the earth, and they shared Jesus wherever they went. I want to impress upon you tonight the importance of your calling to follow Jesus and your calling to be here as a part of this church. God's called you to be here. He called you to be here. However it's happened, He's put His call upon you. He didn't send you to Compassion Church. He didn't send you to Cross Point Church. He didn't send you to the Church of Christ. He sent you right here. You're here. You're right here. You represent many, many others who are here. And for whatever reasons, they live in lots of places. They can't all come back on Sunday night. Our people live in all these different places around Dixon, not just in Dixon proper. So what do we do as God's called people together? Well, lots of people have opinions about that. I know you are shocked to know that Baptists have opinions. Did you know that? Yes, you do know that. But perhaps we need God's opinion, not our opinion. Wouldn't that help? Yes. So we're going to use Henry Blackaby's guiding principles, the seven realities of experiencing God. If you've never, ever been through experiencing God, in the month of September, starting then, join Renee Scott will be teaching it. I really encourage you to go. You really should. It would be a wonderful experience for you. Because these principles have been around a long time, they're not perfect principles. We could all critique them, and some of the teachers in here could do a better job, and I'm sure. But we're going to use them because, for the most part, they're familiar language to most of us who are part of First Baptist Church. At one time or another, looking around here, knowing most of you, you've been through these principles of experiencing God. Some of you newer than others, but you have. So we're going to use them as a guiding principle over the next few months on Sunday nights. We're going to work through these one at a time together, but we're going to do it in here differently than you would in the class. We're not doing the homework. We're not doing the assignments. We'll be talking about these principles, and then we're going to do the most important thing. Then we're going to pray and spend time with the Lord, focused on these principles, asking this question: God, what do you want us to do together? What do you want us to do together? You know, in experiencing God together, you think about it, there's always a birth of a new child. One of our preschool workers came to the back door today, and she was informing me that our initiative on Baptist babies is working very well. She wanted me to know that. She said, there's 19 of these preschoolers in this room crawling the walls. That's great. May the Baptist Baby Initiative continue to go forward. May there be more twins born into this church. One of our families that just had twins, the husband was speaking with Pat. They already have three. And then they're going to have these two new ones. So you know what he said? We've just got to go get a 12-passenger van. That's what we have to have to drive around. And I wanted Pat to tell him, have a few more and you can get a bus. So why does God bring us together? Well, let's look at these seven realities for a moment, and then we're going to take a few minutes to think about some things personally, and then I'm going to come back to Moses' call. I just want to comment on each of these briefly. First of all, God always is at work around you. A long time ago, I had the privilege of writing a little book called The Kingdom Leader, and here's the way I would say it to you. God is working in you, through you, and around you. This is what God's doing. God is active and busy. But what's interesting to me that there have been times in my life where I'm just like Moses here. I'm just out pasturing the flock. I'm just out walking around, not very sensitive to what's going on. And God meets Moses in the desert to call him to his life's work. So God is always at work around you. We'll talk about this next week more in detail. Do you see it? Do you see the work of God? Do you see the work of God? Do you see the work of God in this church? See, we're talking about what we do together here. We're talking about how God puts us together, why He puts us together in such a unique way. Do you see it? Well, we have to see it. So we'll be thinking about that. Moses saw how God worked among the children of Israel, but he saw, first of all, God had to work in his own life. So we all know that. God starts his work individually in our lives. He starts working on us, as we talked about this morning. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So here's my question to you tonight. What's he doing inside of you? How's God working in you? How's God working through you? How's He working through you? And what do you see in your neighborhood? What do you see in Dickson County? What do you see in Nashville? What around us? What do we see in the United States? What do we see in the world? What do we see? God is busy at work. You know, Jesus reminded us, my Father is working and I am working. Jesus reminded the disciples, as I remind you tonight, I go to be with the Father, and greater works than these works I've done, you will do. The work of God goes on through God's people. This is really important. It's not an individual thing. Somewhere we got lost in church world and started thinking that all that really matters is me praying to God personally, me being happy with Jesus personally, and we forgot, oh, I'm connected to other people in the body of Christ. Yeah, pretty much. You're not by yourself. You can't do it on your own. So turn to your neighbor and say, I guess I got to love you because I'm stuck with you. Go ahead and tell them. Go ahead. That's what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking right now. Yep, pretty much. Like one rock on another. Just put right on top of each other. The Lord's building this spiritual habitation, isn't He? Rock upon rock. Rock upon rock. Even at First Baptist Church Dickson. Yeah. So, God is always at work. God pursues a love relationship with you that is personal and real. God called from the bush. Moses, Moses, it was personal. God knows your name. He knows your history. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. Are you listening? God knows where you are. He knows who you are. You can't hide. You can't run away. You can't go over, and hide out in the, I've learned being in Dixon, some people like to live way out so nobody can find them. God can still find you in those woods with all those deer and varmints and everything running around. He can find you. God knows where you are. God pursues a love relationship with you. We know that because of the Lord Jesus dying for our sins. And now we tell people about Jesus and the Holy Spirit just chases them, just calls them, draws them, gives them an opportunity to believe. God invites you to become involved with Him and His work. So the Lord said, come now, I will send you to Pharaoh. No army, no weapons, standing there with a staff and all these stinking sheep. It's almost hilarious. This is God's way. Okay, you're going to go to Pharaoh. I know about Pharaoh. He's got big armies and mean people. Can you imagine what he's thinking? God invites you. Oh, you. No, by name. You. All of you. He's inviting you to join in the work. Remember what Paul said? We are fellow laborers with the Lord. We work together with God. We're fellow laborers. So what are you doing today in your work with the Lord? God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church, to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. This is why we have to learn to do things together. By the way, there was never a big crowd on hand when God called out and put some of His most powerful things in place. Only 120 people were there in the upper room when the power of God fell and the Holy Spirit came. Only 120. What can God do through the few? A lot. There were only 11 disciples till they replaced Judas, the betrayer. What can God do through a few? A lot. We sometimes worry about the number part. Well, we don't have enough. One's enough. One's enough. Do you agree with that? One's enough. What does God need but one? But one. So as you come here and you think about your life, what is it that God's doing through circumstances? What are you hearing God say through the Word? What are you experiencing when you pray? What is it that is the common voice, the thing that comes through the church and its ministries? We sat here today with, this whole section right here, at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock was filled with young couples who had 3-year-olds to 5-year-olds. Now, the 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds were also in here because today was pre-K orientation. Man, there was a lot of emotion and energy in here, a lot of happy and sad going on at the same time. And they were all here. And all of those dear people are submitting themselves to this church and to us. They are, most of them don't go to church anywhere. They're young couples still trying to figure it out. What is it that our church says clearly to our world and our community that reveal God's presence? You know, we've said that we're going to follow Jesus, love one another like Jesus, and tell the world about Jesus. So we'll talk some more about that. Then we come to God's invitation for you. Go to that next slide, if you will. Who's up there? Who is it? Yay, Lola. God bless you. Turn it over there. Lola and I are used to this. Lola, hurry up and turn to that next slide. God's invitation for you, for you to work with Him, always leads you to a crisis of belief. Oh, here it is. Wait a minute. Who am I? Me? You're talking about me going to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Wait a minute. First he said, here I am. And now he said, who, me? Have you ever done that? Of course you have. The Lord starts to impress upon you. He starts to lead you to do something. Okay, Lord, I'm available. But wait a minute. What? Who am I? I can't do that. You see, it's going to lead you to a crisis of belief. Will God really help me? Can I really trust God with this that I'm about to do? I'm about to take a major risk. Is this what I'm supposed to do? You must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He's doing. Oh, by the way, those same principles I'm reading here are for the church. So church, First Baptist Church, with all of our 100 and how many years are we, 25? 125 years. Praise God for every year. But now here we are in 2017. It's still 2017. Jesus hasn't come back again. I'm glad to know about the past. I am. I truly am, and I'm respectful of it. Hats off. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before. But many of them aren't here now. We're here. So the same principles that apply to an individual that I'm talking about apply to a church. What's God calling us out to do? What's going to have to happen that we're going to have to believe God for something? I'm talking about as a church. That's far more than what happens in a business meeting. What kind of adjustments are we going to have to make as a church to do what God calls us to do? These are really important questions. You must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He's doing. Oh, by the way, when you got saved, you made some major adjustments. Some of you here tonight, if you don't know the Lord, here's the first major adjustment. Quit living a selfish life, repent, come to Jesus, and I promise you, if you'll make that adjustment, God will save you and change you. But you got to make an adjustment. You got to make an adjustment. Church, at the end of the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, before the church was even 100 years old, was knocking at the door, calling the churches in Asia Minor, for the most part, to repent. Get it back in order. Get it back in order. Not just individually, but as a group. So tonight, we think about what we must do. And finally, you come to know God by experience as you obey God. And He accomplishes His work through you. Remember that wonderful passage, I won't turn to it, in Hebrews, it talks about what maturity is. Maturity is having your senses trained by experience. I want to tell you, I promise you, if you will follow the Lord, He will not forsake you, He will help you. I promise you. You must let your senses be trained in righteousness so that you understand what it is God calls you to do. You say, well, Pastor Mike, I thought calling was all for you preachers. No, no, it's for all of us. Not a one of us in here is not being called out. By the way, did you know church means in Greek called out ones? Ekklesia. You've all been called out. So where do we go? Well, Moses says, Lord, when I go, what's your name? And I'll conclude with this, verse 14. I am has sent me to you. So we go. We go even with more clarity. We go with the commission, don't we? Go to the nations, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe what I've commanded you. Jesus said, I am with you, how long?
Always.
All the time. And as we look around this room, you know, we think about it. Look, I'm telling you, there's not a day goes by, the pastors could tell you, there's not a day goes by we don't have joy going on in the church and great sadness. It happens all the time because everybody in this room is in the center, in the midst of life. And you know the frustrating thing? You can't control it. Isn't that frustrating? You can't line it out. Some of us who like to control things, if we could just, okay, I'm going to move this over here, adjust this right here, I got it all set up, and then it blows up. It blows up. Kind of like when Moses was trying to help God out, remember? Killed that fella. Went back the next day, remember what his brothers So said to him, "You gonna kill us too?" Oh, that was not good news. And he ran away. So tonight, here's my question. Do you have it clear on your personal calling from God? What's God calling you to do as a disciple? See, this is what we're asking. If you clarify your calling, listen to me, it helps the church clarify our calling. Because that's what God's doing here. He's putting us together in a very unique way. So tonight we're going to pray just about calling. That's what I want us to do. So thank you for listening. Now we're going to pray. And I'm just going to lead you through some time of prayer. And I want you to, first of all, if you don't have these experiencing God, these seven realities down, in the next weeks we'll have a sheet. Sometimes I forget this, and I really want to remember. Not everybody knows these seven realities. So we'll have a printed little sheet, and we'll keep those out so that you can have those, and we'll work through them together over the next few weeks. The pastors are going to be involved with me in this over the next few weeks. We're going to have some testimonies. We're going to pray together. We're going to worship together. Please, as best you can, make a plan, and let's, for the next few weeks together, the pastors, all of us believe very strongly we need to do this. We're going to do it with whoever shows up. I'm not worried about that. 10 of us are here, bless God. If 1,000 of us are here, bless God. That's not the issue. The ones who will be here will be here. And I believe they'll be the ones God wants here week by week. And I do understand it. But if you can come, if you can invite some of our other brethren and sisters to come, it will be very important as we pray through these principles together and begin to say, Lord, what are you calling us to do together? Or what do we need to adjust that we're not doing together in the days ahead? That's what we're asking for, spiritual wisdom. Now let's pray. So Moses was pasturing the flock on the west side of the wilderness, and he came to the mountain of God. The angel appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. And Moses said, I must turn in. When he turned in, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Right now as you pray, would you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm right here. Here I am. Here I am. In the quiet of this moment. Here I am, Lord. I'm right here. I'm sitting still. I'm quietly listening. Here I am. I'm available. What do you want me to do? Just speak to the Lord like that for a moment. What do you want me to do? No, not about a circumstance in your life, but to the Lord about your life and His life. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? Just for a moment. So perhaps you've been surprised by the response of God. The Lord said to Moses, I want you to go free the people from Pharaoh. But maybe over the next few days you should pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then I want you to pray this prayer. And we'll come back to it later again. Lord, what do you want our church to do? Here we are. We're here in Dixon. We're blessed with the resources you've given us. We're blessed with leadership. We're blessed with good people who seek to serve you. We're blessed with all these things. What? Here we are. What do you want us to do that we're not doing? What do you want us to do? Clarify that for us. Help us to know what we're to do. So Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you for all that you do for us. as Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you." So Lord, tonight, even as Peter goes on to say, though we have not, we now for a little while suffer. And though we have not seen you with our eyes, Lord Jesus, we love you and we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Help us to be joyous people because we love you and we have believed in you, though we have never seen you with our eyes. But we've seen you work. We see you work even today. So open our eyes. So now would you pray, Lord, open my eyes this week for me to see how you are working around me. Open my eyes. Just like Moses saw the bush. What do you see? Ask the Lord to show you what to see.